Okay, Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach, beginning a new series of Thursday Night Shirim with the general theme of halachic topics related to the Sedra. Parashas Vayetze, we see a few instances in which Yaakov Avinu serves as the prototype, the paradigm for how a worker should operate with honesty and integrity. From the beginning of the Sedra, where he instructs the Roim around the well, to Yaakov's contention to his wives, to what Yaakov says to Lavan at the end of the parsha, that Yaakov Avinu is viewed in the Psukim and in Chazal as the model for how a worker should be faithful to his job. And the Gemara tells us in the end of Perek HaPolim, Bav Metziah and Dav Tzadi, that we learn certain halachos in terms of Chiyuvei Shmira from Yaakov Avinu. And indeed, the Rambam writes in the very end of Hilchos Chiros how Yaakov Avinu served as that model. Hilchos Chiros, you have it in the Mar Makomos here. The very last halacha. The Rambam writes, "Kederek shemusar balabayis shelo yigzal schar ani v'lo yakvenu." Just as the responsibilities that a balabayis can't deprive his worker of his fair wages, kacha ani musar shelo yigzal melachas balabayis. So, to a worker, cannot steal from the work that he needs to perform for the boss. Vivalto mat bekan mat bekan, to become lazy, to slack off, to cut corners. Umotzi kol yom b'mirma. He has to be careful to be there for the hours he's supposed to be employed. After all, there's a dispensation that because the fourth bracha, Birchas Hamazon, is only derabbanan, so workers in the middle of his work, Meikar Adin doesn't have to say that bracha because he don't want to take away time from the work that he needs to do. He has to work with all his strength and all his effort. That we learn from Yaakov Avinu, the level of dedication that is required from a worker. So that's how the Rambam ends Hilchos Schira. So what we will discuss this evening is the heightened level of responsibility that a Rebbe, that a Melamed Tinokos has above and beyond the responsibility of a regular worker, and specifically, what is the bar, what grounds exist for terminating the employment of a Rebbe, of a Melamed Tinokos, for situations of not living up to the job that is expected of him. We're not going to talk about issues related to the term of employment. We're not going to talk about severance pay. Those are all topics for another time. I think you may have addressed some of them at the previous Choshen Mishpat series. But we're going to focus on the responsibilities of and the grounds for termination of the employment of a Melamed Tinokos. So the Gemara tells us on the bottom of Daf Kuf Tes Amud Aleph in Bava Metzia, a Maimer of Rava, Mikri Dardiki, a Melamed Tinokos, a Rebbe, Shala, a person who is employed to plant trees in someone else's property, Tabacha, a butcher, a Shochet, V'umna, Machlokas Rishonim, does that mean a Moel or a blood letter? Anta Amid Beis, the Safer, the Masa, either a Sofer who writes the Frei Torah or a Safer, the Dayan, the person who writes Shtaros. All these people engage in work where the consequences of negligence are significant. So Kulan Kemusrin V'omdin Dami. They are all considered to be forewarned. Sounds like a regular employee, before you terminate his employment, even for cause, you have to give him a warning. When it comes to these class of people, you don't even need to warn them. They're considered to be forewarned. Klal Demilsa. Anytime there is an irrevocable loss, a loss that cannot be easily made up for, there it's considered that the worker is already forewarned and does not need any further warning before firing him for negligence. Now there is a position of the Nemuka Yosef here, which is quoted in the Ramah in Simin Shin Vav Choshen Mishpat Sivches, which you should have in the Mar Makomos as well. We'll take a look at it in the Ramah here. The first line of the Ramadi or Sivchef, page 2 of the Mar Mekomos, V'yesh omrim da'af api she'ein tzrichan asra, even though they don't need a warning, mikol makom de'inan chazaka, there has to be a evidence of repeated infraction, da'ad she'yu mukhzakin, o she'yisr behen lo mesakinala. He has to have a chazaka, which presumably means he has to have violated this infraction 3 times, or there has to be a warning. So what is the nature of the loss that we're talking about, the Pseidat de Lohadar, the irrevocable loss that exists by the negligence of a Melamed Tinoko? So here we have, it seems, 4 major positions to be shown him, at least 3 of which are reflected Lalacha, and the 4th presumably is accepted Lalacha as well. So if you look here in Rashi on the bottom of Kuftes Amid Aleph, Rashi writes, Mikri Dardiki, Pseidat de Lohadar, who? De Shabeshta Kevin de Al. When it comes to misinformation, when it comes to miseducation, so you can't easily make up a mistaken teaching. If you tell someone wrong information, tell a little kid something that's factually incorrect, you're not educating them with the MS, so then it'll be difficult for them to become reprogrammed and make up or compensate for that misinformation. That's the position of Rashi. The issue of the Pseidat de Lohadar is in the miseducation. If you look in Tosos on the top of Amud Beis, Tosos has a different approach. In the bottom of that Tosos, L'fisha ba'osa shah shalimdo shibushim nisbatilo limud shel emes. It's not that there is misinformation that can't easily be rectified, but it's the actual loss of time. If you're not teaching properly, so the kids are wasting time, and that lost time can never be properly made up down the road. If you look in Tosas in Bava Basra, Tosas has a similar formulation, page 4 in the Mar Mekomos, Bava Basra Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, Deosa Shah Shemalabi Lehentos, when you're giving them misinformation, when you're teaching them the wrong thing, Hey Miss Batlim, so in effect they're not learning, Deosa Shah Einichal Nachsi Lalim, that moment in time can never be compensated for again. That moment in time is going to be lost forever. So again, according to Rashi, the concern is the misinformation. According to Tosfos, the concern is the lost time. The Mordechai has a third position. Mordechai in Simon Shin Sadi Test in Bav Mitzia. Yesh Mefarshim. Kol Shekein is not negating that which Tosfos says, but Kol Shekein in Batel Yom O Yomayim. If the Melamed Tinokos doesn't show up for work for a day or two, then that is grounds for termination of employment. So if you look in that same Sif in the Ramah, Simon Shinvav, Sif Ches, on page 2 of the Mar Mekomos, within the Mechaber's citation of the Salacha, which is from the Gemara, there's a parenthetical reference in the Ramah letters. Afilu if he didn't teach them, so in the Ramah letters it says afilu rak yoma yomayim, even if he didn't teach them for a day or two, and that citation is from the Mordechai. So what's this formulation of yoma yomayim? So if you look in the Smadir on the side of the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Katan Kaf Aleph, the Smadir asks what's this formulation of yoma yomayim. So he says maybe it's like the pasuk by Maka Eved Kanani, v'im yoma yomayim yamod lo yukam ki chaspavu. That if the Eved Kanani, you hit him, and he doesn't die for a couple of days, so then that's a different kind of chiyuv, because kikas bahu, and chazal v'drasha there, yom yomayim is yom shuki yomayim, namely me'es le'es, 24 hours. So you require a negligence of at least 24 hours, not showing up for a 24-hour period. Okay. There's a fourth position Rishonim, which is not reflected in the Pesach Shulchan Aruch, but presumably everyone would agree with, in terms of the kind of Pshia that we're talking about. So not only Misbatav Milimudo, not only if you're late, you don't show up for a couple of days, the Ravid quotes, the Ravid in the Shita Mekubetzes and the Meiri as well in the Sugya, that if you have a Melamed who excessively hits the Talmidim, the Lashon HaMeiri, Lachbol Behem Yosir Min Aroi. So if you hit them too much, then that's grounds for termination of employment. So everything is based on what's acceptable in that generation. As, nowadays, probably any kind of corporal punishment would be grounds for termination. But in a time when it was more accepted, doing it excessively would be grounds for termination. The Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes in his autobiography, the Megillah Sefer, that when he was little, he suffered greatly because he had melamdim that would hit him, he writes, without mercy. It's actually quite graphic, the description of the beatings that he took. You can take a look. So if presumably his rebbeim could have been fired based on this ravid, but I guess they weren't. They're on top of things. Okay. So practically speaking, let's talk about being late. So that line of Yom Yomayim, which the Rama quotes over here in Siman Shin Vav. So what is the gather of being late that would theoretically be grounds for terminating the employment of a Rebbe? So there's a Tshuvas HaRambam. Tshuvas HaRambam is in the Blau edition. Tshuvas HaRambam, pages 645 through 647. Tshuvas HaRambam is addressing what seemed to be a not uncommon phenomenon in his time, where there were Rebbeim who would leave the Talmidim in order to go say Eidus somewhere, and they get paid for that Eidus. So I guess the Rebbeim back then didn't make enough money either. So they would look for supplementary income, and they go and say Eidus during the time that they should have been teaching. So the Rambam writes, Halavai, that's the only infraction that should be going on. So there's a mashmos in the Rambam that maybe it's not the worst thing. This is quoted in one of the Piska Dinim Rabbanayim. There's a collection of Piska Din for the Bate Dinim Rabbanayim in Eretz Yisrael. I think now they're all on email, so they don't write books anymore. But they used to publish a book every, I don't know how often. So in volume 14, around page 100 and on, there's a case about the wrongful termination of a Rebbe, a Talmud Torah Rebbe. And the issue surrounded the fact that he was supposed to be there at 8 o'clock, and he was there every day at 8:15. Or there are many days that he didn't get there until 8:15. So they quote this Rambam, and maybe that's not the worst thing in the world. The Ramosh HaTshuva, which you have in the Mar Makomos, Yeredeya Chelek Aleph Simin Kuf Lamed Ches. Ramosha discusses this phenomenon also, is the fact that a Rebbe who otherwise is very qualified just happens to not be on time. Is that enough grounds to fire him? So first Ramosha writes that obviously it goes without saying that a Rebbe has to be responsible to be there on time, and that's part of his obligation. The end of the first long paragraph, Vada kalmora bein Torah shebechad bein Torah shebalpeh, whether he's teaching Chumash, whether he's teaching Gemara, mechuyav shelo levatel afilu mdashehu mimash ein tzarech letinokos b'shal shehuk b'lilma, when he's supposed to be there, he should be there, he shouldn't be even 1 minute late, but next paragraph, since nowadays people aren't as makbid about these things, so there's a daita d'hachi understanding that it's understood that if Rabbi's a few minutes late, it's not the end of the world, even though he shouldn't be, but if he is, you shouldn't fire him just for that. Right. So in general, if there's a contract, you can't fire someone without cause, irrespective of a Rebbe. It could be that there's more of a kula by a Rebbe, because the Gemara in Bava Basra and Daf Kaf Aleph has the notion of kina sofrim tar b'chachma. There are certain situations where if you have a Rebbe and another more qualified Rebbe comes to town, under certain circumstances you may be able to replace the current Rebbe with the other. There are details as to when that applies. But absent that kind of extreme situation of kina sofrim tar b'chachma, so then there's a presumption that if someone's operating over an definitely with an explicit contract and even with an implicit contract, they can't fire someone in the middle of his term of employment unless there's some grievance or some cause. So that's what we're talking about here. Yeah. Right, so what are you saying?
I mean, is it an issue of effort or is it an issue of results? I mean, who cares how hard they're working? I mean, they're not producing. It sounds like
Well, the Gemara is talking about Mikri Dardiki de Pasha. So what's considered a Pshia? Is if he puts in the effort that he's supposed to do, so even if the result... That's a different... That's a different Din Shulchan Aruch. Right. Right, so all these people have certain responsibilities. So if they're negligent in their responsibility, that's ground for... You know, they have to do the job to the best of their ability. If they're not doing, even to the best of their ability, they're not producing what you need to produce, so that's a separate conversation. But under most circumstances, if they're hired to do a certain job and they do it to the best of their ability, you can't fire them in the middle of the term unless there's some shi involved. even if they're not producing well. So if there's some misrepresentation about what his abilities were, that's something else. But if you knew what you're getting into and you're hiring him and he's doing what you expected him to do, and there's no overt pshia, so then you're responsible to keep him employed for that term of employment. Okay, so Ramosha, back to this tshuva in Kuf Lamed Ches, says even though in principle Rebbe should never be late, but we know that Lamaisa people aren't as careful anymore, and it's not right, but that in and of itself isn't necessarily enough grounds to terminate his employment. Right. Yeah, so potentially, it probably depends on how egregious it is and how regular it is. Rav Ozner has a tshuva, Shevet Alevi Cheleches Simen Shin Tesov, about an Avreich learning in a kollel who comes late to the Starim. So he says that if he's not keeping the Starim, then you can fire him, means not pay his kollel stipend. Even though Rav Moshe has that approach that being late in and of itself isn't always a sufficient cause for termination, it really depends on the circumstance. So we've had cases in the Bezdin of America where the Bezdin has found that being late is, if someone is habitually late, so that significantly interferes with their ability to do the job. And that would be considered pshia enough to justify terminating their employment. Tzitzel Yezer has like that also in Chelek Zayin, Simen Memches Perigud, Chelek Zayin Memches Perigud, that a Rebbe who was late repeatedly, that would be grounds for terminating their employment. There's a tshuva in the Divrei HaGaonim, Klal Kafei, is about a Chazen who would travel without permission from the Kehillah. So he says that they could fire him. He's supposed to be here. He's not here. He's not doing his job. So you can let him go. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Beis, Halacha Gimel, which you should have here as well. Milam Tinokos, Shehumei Neyach Tinokos V'yotze. So if you have a Rebbe who leaves a Talmidim, he goes out for a coffee break. Oshu also malacha cheresiman, or he's doing other things. He's supposed to be teaching them Torah, and he teaches them math. Oshu misrasha b'limudan, or he doesn't do his job properly. Hareza b'chlal arur osem malacha sashem remia. Lefigach ein roi lehoshu melamid el abal yira mahir likras l'daktik. He should be have yiras shemayim, and he should be proficient. On the Kesef Mishnah here quotes the Gemara in the Gemara in Bava Basra, in the second parak, about Yoav's Rebbe, who made a mistake between Zecher and Zachar, which had significant consequences. You have to be careful about how you teach the Talmidim. So above and beyond the Pshia that we've been speaking about until now, there's perhaps a heightened responsibility that a Rebbe has to be on the top of his game when he's teaching the Talmidim. So if you look in the Ramah, in Simen Shin Lamed Gimel Sif Hei, which is page 3 continued on the Marmar Kamos. He writes here in the middle of the paragraph, the Asar Lasof Melachto Im Alimud, that the Rebbe should not be doing anything else during the time he's supposed to be teaching. Oh, Linor Balaila Yosar Midai, shouldn't be up too late at night, because that's going to impact on his ability to be effective in the classroom. Oh, Laharbas Vamachal, he shouldn't eat too much. And if he doesn't follow the directives, if he's lax about these pieces of advice, so he goes to sleep too late and he's not effective in the classroom, so then that would be grounds for terminating his employment. We've had cases in the Bezdin of America where the Bezdin has found that there are grounds for terminating employment of a Rebbe for just poor judgment, not taking into consideration the norms of what's expected in a classroom. The Minchas Yitzchak, Dayan Weiss, has a tshuva, Chela Dalet Simen Ayin Hei, that even if you have a Rebbe, he's a very effective Rebbe, but he's not able to operate within the Shitat Limud of the Hanhala. So he has a different educational approach than the Hanhala of the institution. And he's not willing to change his educational approach to conform with the educational approach of the Hanhala. So that's destructive. that could be destructive for the Talmidim, destructive for the institution. And he thinks that's grounds for terminating the employment of such a rabbi. That's part of the responsibility of a rabbi, to work with the shita chinuchit of the institution that employs him. The Piskei Din Rabbanayim, Chelek Ches, beginning of page 129, another case where the issue at hand was that the Melamed was saying bad things about the institution that was employing him. So that's also not a workable situation. You can't keep a Rebbe if he's going to be bad-mouthing the institution and saying bad things to the rest of the community. So these are all matters of some discretion that ultimately a Beis Din may have to weigh in on. But the notion of... I'm sorry? He's doing a good job, but in the whole picture, the Rebbe has to be responsible for the institution as well. So that's part of that particular psak din, found that that's considered, broadly speaking, Shia, because if you're going to badmouth the institution that employs you, that's bad for the institution, bad for the dynamic, and that's considered shirking the responsibility of an employee of the institution. There's another psak din of the Piskei Din Rabbanayim, where they discuss what's the status of a preschool teacher. Until now we've been talking about a Malami Tinokos. A Malami Tinokos is a Rebbe. So what about, what's the status of a kindergarten teacher? Is that also a Rebbe? Do we have the same concern? Right, let's go back. According to Rashi, the concern is that you're going to misteach them. So if you misteach them at Tosfos, or you misteach them at Pasuk Chumash, is that the same as misteaching them whatever you learn in kindergarten? Or wasting the time. Do we care about how much time you waste in kindergarten as opposed to when you're older? So that was a 2-to-1 decision where the majority decision in that particular psak din found that because when it comes to a kindergarten classroom, the teacher is teaching them brachos and kriyas shema and aleph beis and how to do mitzvah, so that's a kodesh orientation and teaching them mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim. So that would be the equivalent of nikri dardiki of a rebbe, and whatever the standards are for employment and pshia on the part of a rebbe would be the same for employment or pshia on the part of a kindergarten teacher. That's the those are the two dayanim, and the minority opinion thought that the kindergarten teacher is like a babysitter. So the babysitter is a different class of employee. The standards of pshia may not be the same, but so that was a 2-to-1 decision. Where the majority found that the kindergarten teacher is the equivalent of a rabbi. We had another case where one of the issues was the rabbi would leave the classroom unattended against the school policy. So it has little kids and go out for 5 minutes and leave the classroom unattended. That's also considered, or potentially considered, pshia, because that's just being irresponsible. So these are some of the issues that come up when these decisions need to be made, but broadly speaking, there has to be a certain amount of intelligent input into these decisions. You have to use common sense and figure out what's considered real pshia that could have negative effect on Talmidim, and what is simply a minor negligence, which me'ikar adin perhaps would be grounds for termination, but as Ramosha points out, in today's day and age, where not everyone's perfect, if generally speaking the Rebbe is an effective Rebbe, he just comes a little late every now and then, that's something that could potentially be overlooked. We started with Yaakov Avinu's instruction. Yaakov Avinu comes to the well. Vayom lehem Yaakov achai me'ayin atem. And he gives a musar, od hayom gadol, so if you're paid by the hour, you're paid by the day, so it's still daytime. If you're not paid by the day, it's your own sheep, so you're being lazy. So Yaakov Kamenetsky, the MS Yaakov, just picks up on the lashon of achai, my brothers. Why is he calling him brothers? Why is he calling them brothers? They're not related. Actually, Rabbi Twersky likes to ask, and when a Parsha question in Parsha Vayetze, there are 4 different usages of the term ach in the Parsha. Here you have achai, me'ayin atem, it means friends, people. You have ach as a literal brother. You have in the end of the Sedra by Lavan and Yaakov meeting. So it says Vayom Yaakov Lachav, that means the sons. And then you have Ach as relative. Lavan says Ach Atmi Avisari Ata. So four usages of the term Ach. So here Yaakov points out, why does he call him a brother? He says that if a person is going to come and give Musa, you can't give Musa without any standing. You have to have a relationship first. So Yaakov comes and he addresses them as brothers, that we have something in common. So then he's able to give them Musa as a follow-up. It's time to walk over to someone and give them Musa and knock them over the head. Without a relationship, that's never going to be effective. So Yaakov even has to call them brothers, so he develops a relationship, and then he can start giving them Musa.